Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. It is with reluctance that we close out our studies on the goodness of God with the day's broadcast. The goodness of God cannot be covered in six studies. The goodness of God is absolutely inexhaustible. Memory is called to play to appreciate the goodness of God, as we will notice particularly in our subject today, because we're going to talk about the remembrance feast of the Lord, which he instituted while he was here. And there we see the supreme gift that is goodness to us. Let's read, if you please, our theme verse once more again at the close of the broadcast. Despisest thou, this is Romans 2:4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The goodness of God, even the scriptures refer to it, and we've lifted that phrase right out of the Romans 2:4 and applied it as the title of our studies. And it has been indeed a pleasure to bring this series to you. Now today, we wish to consider the remembrance of the Lord's Supper that he gave us on the night of his betrayal. We read in St. Luke, chapter 22, verse 14, when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Now this gathering at this time was to celebrate the Passover, and I may say, the last Passover, because the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was going to be fulfilling all the types that led up to this moment. But then he goes on, as we shall see, in verse 19, and he took bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now why does he say after supper? Well, it was the Passover feast. This cup he took after the supper, you see, and is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Now, God has always left his people with a feast. When the Passover ended, the Lord's Supper took over. What we refer to as the Lord's Supper, it's variously referred to. Paul refers to it as the Lord's Supper. It has been referred to as the Communion, the Holy Communion, the Eucharist. You go to Webster's Dictionary and you find out what the Eucharist means. It means the Lord's Supper, and it's called the Remembrance Feast. They borrow the words from our text today, this do in remembrance of me. And so the Lord institutes this feast that they might remember him, and incidentally, the goodness of God. What a wonderful feast it is. And let's talk about the elements that the Lord uses to commemorate his memory. He uses bread, which speaks of his holy body. I think we should read that part again. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Little did they realize that was on the cross. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So those elements are wisely chosen, and they're chosen by the Lord himself. I think we have to see the wisdom of the Lord in giving us this supper before he left his disciples and for all the generations of Christians that should follow until he comes. Because he wants us to remember him. The Lord quotes, I think I'm going to quote about the Lord, is saying that he makes in the 103rd Psalm, verse 14, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Now, you can write in dust, but it doesn't hold an impression very long. Isn't that an apt description of the remembrance feast that the Lord in His wisdom instituted so we would not forget His goodness, so we would not cease our worship because of what He did for us on the cross of Calvary? Just think of it, if you will, please. The wisdom that He displayed in the emblems that He chose. The bread, to speak of His body. Bread is the bread of life. The Lord tells us that in John 6 and 35. We read there, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now think of that, if you will, please, in the matter of Luke chapter 22 and verse when he speaks about his blood. Verse 20. Likewise, also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. My blood is shed for you. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, this is not literal hunger. It's spiritual hunger. It's the heart. It's the hunger of the heart. If you come to the Lord Jesus, He will satisfy you. And that is brought forth in this feast, this wonderful, wonderful feast that the Lord in His wisdom gave us before He ever left this scene. Now, let's talk about other elements of the Lord's feast, because we want to give it as broad a spectrum as we can in considering the wonder of this feast. Now, the Lord does not say here how often we are to observe this feast. He just doesn't say. He just says, do this in remembrance of me. I want to be remembered. You know, that's almost pathetic, isn't it? That the Lord says, please remember me. But He left this feast. But now we have the problem. But I think it's settled in the Scripture as far as I'm concerned. How often it should be observed. I don't know how often you think it should be observed. And I'm not going to dispute with you at all on that subject. Because after all, the Lord says that as often as we do it, He told that to Paul, at least, in a special revelation, that as oft as we do it, then He will take note of it. And the time period is not important. The important thing is to do it. Do this in remembrance of me. I want to be in your thoughts. I want the goodness of God to just bathe your spirit, as it were. And that feast, oh, I think we're the nearest to heaven when we're in the communion feast, in the remembrance feast, the supper, the Lord's Supper. Oh, how rich it is to the soul. Now, I'm going to read that portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice Paul, please, as he speaks to those Corinthians to whom he is writing. He says, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also He took the cup, when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Now he says, as oft as you drink it. Did the Lord give the Apostle Paul a revelation as how often it should be done? He says, as oft as you drink it, but he didn't set any time dates. But now if we go into the Scripture a little bit further, into Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was on the road to Jerusalem, and he stopped at Troas as he came out of the continent of Europe. And we read there, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now their gathering together was to break bread. It wasn't to hear the Apostle Paul, but he was there, so he preached to them. His presence was incidental. They came together to break bread. Now too often in Christianity today, the communion feast is the incidental part of the service. And it shouldn't be. It should be the feast the part of the service where the heart pours out its thanksgiving that the Lord, out of love, died for us on that cross of Calvary. I think of the contrast of worship. In Revelation chapter 4, we see the angels, the cherubim, falling down before God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy," and the 20 and 4 elders fall down and worship in creation. But in that portion of Scripture, the next chapter, we read about the church worshiping. All right, here it is. And when he had taken the book, the four elders, and the four beasts, rather, and 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Thou hast redeemed us." This is the worship of redemption. Christ brought us back, and here we are, here we are now worshiping him, and we're worshiping him. Your blood cleansed us from your blood redeemed us. And that's the cry of all of those that are at that feast in Revelation chapter 5. Now, let's just learn a lesson from all of this, if we might. As often as we do that, we remember the Lord. You don't have to follow the calendar date, but I'm going, as far as I'm concerned, it's my conviction, I'm going to do it on the first day of the week. That's what the apostles did in the biblical times. Now, would we like to have people say that they loved the Lord more than we did? They were doing it on the first day of the week. Oh, this feast in its richness, it brings us into the appreciation of the title of our series, The Goodness of God, and Oh, the Lord Just Wants to Be Remembered. Let's remember him. Our Father, today we just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will not come, that you will come to mind before us, blessed Lord Jesus, not on special occasions, in our minds always, but on those special occasions, we enjoy you with the rest of your people.